It was a blessing. The whole story is there. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I neglected to say that Marcy was also here on that first service. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is what's known in the Bible as the resurrection chapter. It has it all. There's so many wonderful truths there, and we'll look at some of them today. I don't think I'll preach that long, but I've said that before and lied. But I guess we'll just get into the message. The first four verses talk about the gospel. And this is what our life is all about. It's about Easter. It's about a resurrection. It's about eternal life, everlasting life, and all of the promises that God gives to us. Look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what is preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We know that because it's recorded in the Bible. It's not just hearsay. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's a declaration of what the gospel is, what's important to the believer. We drop down a little bit, if you will, go to verse 12 with me. And you have some hypothetical questions here that God wants us to think about. In verse 12, Paul says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if," and it's a hypothetical if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. What a wonderful text. And let's ask God's blessing on his word today. Father, we love you. We appreciate the opportunity we have to be in church today to worship and praise our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for what that means to us. Thank you for what that has accomplished in our lives and for the blessed hope we have of one day being with you for all eternity. Eternal life, what a blessing. I pray your blessing now as we preach and teach and as we hear your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Again, this is what it's all about. He died for our sins, and he raises us from the dead one day, and we have that promise in the Scriptures. It says he died for our sins but rose again for our justification. He rose again, and that is the gospel. In John chapter 11, Jesus is speaking to Martha, and I think it's verse 25, and he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." So there's the resurrection in that verse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12, we just read, it says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose not from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection?" In the book of Mark, Jesus was speaking, and in verse chapter 12 and verse 18, the Bible says, "Then cometh unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection." The reason they were called Sadducees is because they were sad, you see. And they didn't believe in the resurrection. So he says, "How say some among you?" Not all of the crowds that gathered and heard the word of the Lord believed on him. A lot of people were unbelievers, and obviously he was eventually crucified. We have 1 Corinthians 15, 13. "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is not Christ risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Close the service, dismiss in prayer, close the church. But now he is alive, amen? And so we're here, we're gathered here because of that, and all of the things that we can learn because of that. Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. And that's a promise from Almighty God to all the believers. When we speak of this life, that's the present state of existence that we have right now. That's the time between your birth and your death, a time to die, a time to live. And so that is our life. In between those two dates, though, on tombstones is a dash. That's our life. Just that little dash. And somebody said, your life is made up of two dates and a dash. Make the most of your dash. Amen? And so that's where we're at. We're just in that little dash. James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It goes on and says, it's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Boy, the years are flying by, aren't they? Do you remember when you were 90? Do you remember back that far, you know? And you remember high school? Do you remember grade school? I mean, you go back and all of a sudden, man, this time has really flown by. But it says it's like a vapor. It appeareth for a little while. And then the Bible says it vanisheth away. They say that in a dangerous situation, your life flashes before you. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. It has to me. I rode motorcycles in my younger day and wrecked them. I mean, you can get a Honda 50 going pretty fast. If you know motorcycles, that was a joke. Okay. But I remember I worked at General Motors, and when we would leave after our shift, our second shift, it was like every man for himself. Everybody's speeding to get out of the parking lot. And we called it the Lordstown 500. It was just treacherous. And I rode my motorcycle to work that night. And as I was leaving, everybody's in a hurry. A car pulled out in front of me. My motorcycle hit the side of the car, and I flew over the car. And I mean, my whole life, but it seemed like my whole life was flashing before me. And that's an amazing thing when that happens. Gerard Way said, when your life flashes before your eyes, make sure it's worth watching. Amen? And so we are now in this life, and this is an opportunity for us to do something for Almighty God. And it's a blessing if we do. A rich Texan died, and he was, according to his wishes, buried in his brand new Cadillac. And one of the observers looking said, man, that's really living. And obviously it wasn't. Amen? So it's important that we know God in this life. It's important that we serve God in this life. But the best is yet to come. And that's what the resurrection is all about. He died for our sins. It's almost like final. But the Bible says he was buried, but he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that means something to us. Again, he said, because I live, ye shall live also. Have you ever had a good day? This is a good day, amen? If you had a good day, you say, life is good. And somebody says, how's life treating you? And you say, good. Have you ever had a bad day? No. Never. Life is tough on a bad day. Life is tough. How's life treating you? Not good. For the Christian, there's a constant. It's not all tied to circumstances. It's not all tied to what a good day is and a bad day is. There's got some things that God can do for us. And we're going to look at that today. For the person who's been born again, he has a new life in Christ. And Christ is his comforter, his strength, his wisdom. All of those wonderful, wonderful things. It's a new experience. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. Galatians 2:20. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But now, the life I now live in the flesh, there's something that God does for me. We have John 10 and verse 10. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The Christian has an abundant life, not in circumstances, but in what God does in his heart. This doesn't mean that life will be any easier, that the world will be getting better. It doesn't mean that. It just means that we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Life is more than time and experiences. Let me just give you some thoughts here. We develop a spiritual relationship with Almighty God that we may know Him and the power of His resurrection. The Bible teaches that. We're growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So we're born again of the Spirit. We become Christians. And the more time we spend in the Word of God, the more we learn about Him and we are connected. We're strengthened in the inner man. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In Psalm 90 and verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years. That's 70 years. And it says, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. How long do you want to live? Have you ever thought about that? A number, you ever put a number on the years, you know? When I was 40, I said, man, 40 is young, you know? I'm sure I'll live to be 50, and then at 50, you know, 50 is young, and then 60 is old, right? Until you hit 60. And then 60's young, and 70 is old. And now I'm looking at 80. I mean, for you visitors, I'm 42. Amen? But, I mean, it just flies by, doesn't it? Your life just flies by. And it says that in that verse. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. But there is an inner strength that God gives the Christian. It's a spiritual comfort. It's a peace that passeth all understanding. It says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That can be a reality in somebody's life. You know, so many times people go to church or somebody talks to them about God, and it's ritual, it's just a law, it's just a form. And we go through that and nothing changes inside. I remember I used to go to church when I was little, and I just couldn't wait to get out. I mean, they got there and it was time to go. You know, I just wanted to go. That was the happiest time of the service to me when we were dismissed. And but since I became a Christian when I was 21 years old, now I want to be with God's people. I want to be in the Word. I want to know God. Amen? There's a difference. God has done something. And so He does give us that inner strength. He does give us all of that help. And in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:23. I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. I mentioned the best is yet to come. There was an elderly lady. She was a saint. She was such a blessing to so many people. And she felt her gift was having people over and ministering to them, fixing them a meal, etc., etc. And she would always say when the meal was over, now keep your fork. Keep your fork, because we're going to have dessert. And she passed away, and in her casket, they put a fork right here. And because she would always say, the best is yet to come. Amen? And this life is not all there is. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But there is a future. We'll see our loved ones again. Amen? We'll have a new body. All of those different things that God promises us. When we speak of the next life, it's more than abundant life. It's eternal life. It gets better and better. For the Christian, those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ have a great, great treasure in their heart and in their soul. You know, in the Bible, there are unbelievers and there are believers. And it's simple. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, do you believe the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection? That's a believer. Somebody that doesn't believe that is an unbeliever. Listen to these verses. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. That's the resurrection. Amen? We believe that. So we're believers if we believe that. You have 1 Timothy 1:16, believe on Him to life everlasting. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that he died for our sins on a cross. That's the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15. We believe that he was buried, amen? But we believe on the third day he rose again, and he says, if you believe in me, if you ask me to be your Savior, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So we ask Jesus to be our Savior, we call on him, and we are believers, then we have eternal life. We have abundant life now, and one day it will just go on and on and on. That's his promise. We have Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you want, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I just want to read a couple verses here. That's a little bit to the right from where we just read. But in Ephesians chapter 1, we'll start in verse 12, just a few verses. Paul says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And here is something to think about. If you're not sure you're going to go to heaven, watch these steps in this next verse. Speaking of Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We heard it. We trusted in it, we believed it, and now we have it. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Have you ever heard the statement, signed, sealed, and delivered? That's more than a song on the radio, but signed, sealed, and delivered. If you would go to buy a house, and you know you want to purchase that house, and you're satisfied with that, let me read this to you. It says, it's a legal deed which to be valid had to be signed by the seller, sealed with a wax seal, this is back in the 1900s, and delivered to the new owner. And it was a promise that that house was yours until the deal was completely done. You also have the earnest of our inheritance under the redemption of the purchased possession. Earnest money is a deposit. It's a down payment. It's a pledge that the full amount will be paid. And our earnest is Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, so the promise is made. In the Old Testament, there are a number of feasts, and I just want to look at a couple of them. There's a number of feasts that God gave to Israel. Now, if you study the feasts, they have a picture of what's to come. The parables in the Bible are Jesus giving an earthly story, telling a spiritual truth. So he tells us a parable. These things are written for our learning and for our admonition, the Bible says, about the Old Testament stories. So here are the feasts that Israel had. The first feast is the Feast of the Passover. This feast depicts the Messiah's death on Calvary for the sins of the world. The first time it was instituted was Exodus chapter 12. The nation of Israel is in Egyptian bondage, and God sends a deliverer. His name is Moses, a picture of Christ. And he goes before Pharaoh and says, let my people go. God said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. So the plagues began to come on the nation of Israel because they would not let the children of Israel go. At the 10th plague was the death of the firstborn. And God instructed the people, take a lamb. It says a lamb, the lamb, but it has to be your lamb. Amen. Take the blood of that lamb and put it over the door and on the two side posts of the door. It's a picture of the cross. And he said this in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No judgment, no death, no condemnation. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The death angel will just pass by. We have in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He is the Lamb of God whose blood was shed for us, that there would be no judgment, that there would be no death, that there would be no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's a blessing. Amen? And it's a promise from God. Exodus 12:27. It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. Then another feast is the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. This feast depicts the Lord's body that it will not decay. Do you remember in John chapter 11 where Jesus is going to Lazarus's? Lazarus has died, and by the time he gets there, Lazarus has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said, "Move the stone away," and they said, "No, we can't do that because he's been dead 4 days, and behold, he stinketh. His body has corrupted." But Jesus was only in the grave 3 days. He didn't see corruption. Listen to the verse, Acts 13:35. "Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." That's verse 35. Verse 36 talks about David being corrupted in the grave. Verse 37, "But he whom God raised again saw no corruption." So it's a picture that there is no corruption for those that are in Christ. Let me read the verses. This is 1 Corinthians 15:53. "For this corruptible," that's us, right? Guess what? We're getting older. Sorry to inform you of that. Our bodies are wearing out. Amen? We are corruptible. We are not incorruptible. We are corruptible. And it says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption." One day that's going to take place. "This mortal shall put on immortality." Verse 54, "So when this corruptible should have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." One day, we are going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. The Bible says, "This corruptible shall put on incorruption." Now, that's God's word. That's what he says. "This mortal shall put on immortality." We're going to live forever with God. That's what you call eternal life. That's what you call everlasting life. 1 Corinthians 15:22, "As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Think about your future. Think about your future. When I die, I'm going to be with the Lord for all eternity. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's his promise. There's another feast. It's called the Feast of the First Fruits. And that depicts the Lord's triumphant resurrection. That's in Exodus 23, 34, Leviticus 23. And what that's all about is the nation of Israel, when they had a crop, they would bring a portion of that crop and sacrifice it to the Lord. And it guaranteed them that they would have a harvest. When those first fruits were sacrificed to God, God guaranteed a harvest of the rest of the crop. 1 Corinthians 15:20. "Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." So he's risen. He's our first fruits. It guarantees a harvest. We're all going to be harvested. Amen. We're all going to have a place in heaven with him. "Because I live, ye shall live also." John 14:3. "Where I am, there ye may be also." 2 Corinthians 5:8. "Absent from the body, present with the Lord." That's something to get excited about. My mother's there, my father's there, my brother is there. One day I'll be there. And it'll be a blessed, blessed, blessed time. And again, it's a promise of God. In John chapter 10, Jesus talked about giving us eternal life. And he says there, "And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." When Jesus gives us eternal life, "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." The next verse says, "And my hand is in the Father's hand. And nobody is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." You talk about safe. Amen? It's an earnest. It's a sealing. It's a first fruits. It's a promise from Almighty God that we know him, and one day we're going to be with him forever in heaven. I think that's a great, great, great blessing. 2 Timothy 1:10. "Our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." This mortal shall put on immortality through the gospel. And it brings us all the way back to the gospel again. Sometimes And we've done that here. We've taught through the book of Revelation or the book of Ephesians, and we've studied and we've dug. And there are some fantastic things in the Bible. But we always come back to that beginning, that gospel, the gospel of our salvation, where Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. And if we believe in that and ask him to be our Savior, he gives us a home in heaven. There's an old-time preacher by the name of Spurgeon, and he wrote this. The doctrine of the resurrection is full of joy to the bereaved. It clothes the grave with flowers. The sepulcher shines with a light brighter than the sun. And we say in full assurance of faith, as Martha did, I know that my brother shall rise again. Torn from the degrading shell, the pearl is gone to deck the crown of the Prince of Peace. Buried beneath the sod, the seed is preparing to bloom in the king's garden. If you have received Jesus as your Savior, you have a glorious future, a glorious eternity ahead for you. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will doubtless come again and receive you unto myself. Here it is. That where I am, there ye may be also. God is making another promise. All the promises in him are yea and amen. I think that's a wonderful thing. I want to read one verse. You don't have to turn there. This is Revelation 21. Listen to this. This is a good verse. Amen. Something to be excited about if you believe it. 21 verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The gospel is the good news. Amen. And if you believe the gospel, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God's made a promise to you that you'll be with him in eternity forever. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity, but you believe the scripture, you believe what we've said about the gospel, and maybe you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what he said. That's God's promise to you. In the stillness of this moment, you don't have to say anything out loud. God knows the prayer of your heart. But if you want to ask Jesus to be your Savior, tell him that you believe that he's the Son of God and that he's come and died on a cross for your sins and that you want him to take you to heaven one day. And he promises that he will do that. Say this prayer with me. Say it silently. Say it to the Lord. Mean it with your heart. He'll hear your prayer. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know you died for my sin on Calvary's cross. You paid my penalty. You died in my place. I want to ask you to be my Savior. Please forgive me of all my sin. Please give me a home in heaven when I die. I'm trusting you to do that. In Jesus' name. With our heads bowed, if you said that prayer, would you just slip your hand up? Nobody's looking around. You said that prayer. Just slip it up. Put it right back down. Nobody's going to come to you. God bless you. God bless you. He made a promise. He made a promise. And God will keep his word. It is impossible for God to lie. Father, thank you for the Easter message, the resurrection, where you conquered death, hell, and the grave for us, for all of us, for the world. And I pray that for those who have trusted you today, you'd give them a full assurance of eternal life. Bless them. Be so real to them. And if somebody is hesitating, I pray before the day is over, they'll ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' precious name.